going to get any recording done because the Dorkadia intern is being an adorable little house panther. I'm sure we'll struggle on. Thank you for joining us for the Dorkadia podcast. This is Megan Spur.
John Spangler.
Charles Spur.
Our producer is being a real shithead right now.
I was like, wait a minute. I thought she was just the intern. I didn't realize that she got an upgrade.
Well, she's watching over the recording.
Does that make Charles the intern now?
Yeah, let's see this podcast get out with her producing it.
She does like to sit on the keyboard. Mm-hmm. How many screenshots did she take the other day while you were gaming?
Just like I have like 18 screenshots of Undermine that I really don't need.
Just squatting on the F12.
Because she just rolls her head on the top of the keyboard.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And then she just stopped on it for a little while, so it just started taking a series of screenshots.
She's helping.
Just the Steam screenshot sound. Just
All right, something that the Dorkadia intern does not have opinions on.
Yeah.
I just forced everyone to watch again the latest trailer for Star Wars Episode 9.
Yeah.
Which I am so excited about.
Yeah, looks pretty good. Like I said, it looks like a movie I'm going to go watch.
It's like a movie I'm going to watch like four times.
I mean, 80% of that trailer is just old footage lead up to...
That's fine. Yeah. I like all of those moments.
I don't think we needed a previously on Star Wars.
As someone on this podcast has said, Disney's going to sell me my childhood and I'm here for it.
I'm buying. Yeah. I am.
Yeah.
Star Wars is that thing that I wouldn't say like instantly in love with everything. I've been critical of some things. Notably 40% of episode 8 I thought was unnecessary.
It was a shitty movie. It was cool Star Wars stuff, but it was a shitty movie.
A lot of the chunks of Last Jedi, I like the themes, but I don't like a lot of the actual movie bits that they did.
Yes, which is the most nerd fan person hoop jumping possible, which is like, well, the themes were good. And it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Also that.
Yeah.
Which I think every Star Wars fan with a brain walked away from Last Jedi thinking. Like, oh, that was flawed. That was really cool, though. Like, that's fine.
I enjoyed my time. It will never be my top Star Wars movie or top any movies.
It had some of my favorite Star Wars moments.
It definitely had some cool stuff in it I really liked.
Yeah. Which means that there were parts of the movie that were good and parts of the movie that were really fucking bad.
So, I want to get into some of the stuff that we saw that was...
It's about a one-hour movie.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So, yes.
About the trailer.
Yes. There's stuff that I want to get into the net new. Some of the scenes that I was super excited about. So, we definitely have Rey and Kylo duking it out again.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm glad to see, because it kind of... You know, you have this weird feeling at the end of the last movie, whether... Like, she said no to him, but... We don't really know where he stands, right? The Emperor's... Well, not the Emperor. What is... Snoke was...
The bad guy, I believe, is what you're looking for.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I don't remember what Snoke's role was, but he's dead now.
Yeah, that's... The movie was bad, yes. Who knows what Snoke was or is? Who cares?
But he's gone, and...
He had a title, I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
We don't know where... What,
Supreme Leader, that's it.
Yeah.
What's going on with him? We don't know what's going on with Kylo. We don't... Like, is he fixated on Ren for something? Or Ren. Rey, sorry.
Rey, yeah.
He is fixated on Ren. So, anyways, we don't really know what's going on there. I'm excited to see more of a fight with them. The part that I am... Two things that are big standouts for me. C-3PO with the red eyes. Immediately following with the laser beam to the planet.
Yeah.
My assumption is... My immediate thought is 3PO is going to be hooked up and used as a computer or a guidance or something.
Yeah.
And that's going to be what used to set off a missile. Sure. Whether or not that's actually going to be or a death ray, but whether that's going to be consensual or if that's a thing that somebody does to him. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then all dark Rey with the, as Charles pointed out to me, the Temple Guard lightsaber.
Yep.
Which to me immediately just harkens back to Luke Skywalker in the
cave.
Having to have that basically dream sequence battle. So I'm for it. I want to see what happens. They led up to that in the last movie where Luke was saying that she went and she immediately went to the, you know, the dark side is there and she went straight to it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, I would like more of that storytelling, please.
Like, I'm here to learn your way. Ooh, what is that?
I'm here to learn your ways. What's in your basement? Slytherin? Sweet. Let's do it.
So, I'm just going to say, from the trailer and from the way that they cut the trailer to kind of get around it, I'm thinking that entire sequence, whatever is happening with her, happens while she and Kylo are locked in combat as part of their, like, psychic connection, their force connection.
Sure.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Because the trailer cuts to, like, a close shot of her while they're locked in, you know, combat.
Oh, yeah.
Before they push away again. I'm thinking the whole thing just, like, is a sequence that happens in that moment as them battling in some mental capacity.
Can that moment be, like, 20 minutes long? Because it was pretty badass looking.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be an exploration. The one thing I wanted to mention about 3PO, which seemed weird, is he doesn't have that red arm anymore in that sequence.
Well, I mean, in the comic books, the red arm didn't last super long.
No, it was a point that they made. And didn't he still have it in the last episode?
I don't know, actually.
I don't remember.
I think
he did, but...
Legitimately don't remember.
Yeah.
It was just a thing that I noticed that he no longer had the red arm, but he now has red eyes.
So the parts of... I mean, bringing up the fact that episode 8 was cool and flawed, the parts of the movie I did like were, you know, Kylo and Rey bouncing off of each other and tempting each other with both sides of the force. Like, that was actually very cool.
Yeah.
That was pretty much the part of the movie that kept it afloat for me. This trailer just focuses on those exchanges. Like, it's just promising more. In fact, it's promising so much of that that instead of fighting over lava, they're fighting over water now.
I think the things that in episode 8 that I also still liked was Luke and Yoda. And the self-doubt and everything. Yeah. Because the stuff that I've always cared about most about Star Wars is the gray area, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm really trying hard not to project the rejection of the Jedi and the Sith onto this trailer because I hoped for that in episode 8 and I didn't get it. And I'm really trying not to hope for that in episode 9, but
I don't
think it's going to happen. I think good guys and bad guys are too good for business.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's still part of the storytelling, though.
Yeah.
We may not get what we want, which is, you know, the gray Jedi of, like, just be a normal human being that has magic powers.
In fact, before this recording, we did watch a trailer, of course, from Rebels.
Yes.
Not trailer, I'm sorry, a clip from Rebels.
Yeah.
That had the Temple Guard lightsaber in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so specifically, the very last moment of the new Episode 9 trailer where you have all black Rey... And she pulls out that badass lightsaber that flips in half and becomes like a staff with a double-ended lightsaber. So what Charles pointed out was we've seen this before in Rebels. So it's season 2 series and season ending. It's the Temple Guard fight with Kanan when he goes off on his own. We'll link in the show notes because it's a pretty cool fight.
Yeah.
And I did not catch it. I did not catch that we had seen this lightsaber before, but super awesome.
Yeah. No, like, specifically in that clip, the graduation to Jedi Knight happens when you do accept that you're doing your best, but also that, like, the hard and fast rules of behavior and, like, responsibility, like, don't exactly apply to reality. Like, Star Wars has hinted at this, like, gray area being a compelling spot for storytelling without ever really owning it. And specifically, like, you bring up, like, the Yoda and Luke parts of episode 8. Like, those are only really interesting to me. I mean, it's fun to see Mark Hamill, and it's fun to see Yoda.
Yeah.
Of course. But storytelling-wise, they're only really interesting to me because they translate directly to Rey. Like, they're basically the old generation projecting their hopes and doubts onto this next generation. Super compelling.
Yeah.
And, like, hoping that the next generation figures out what they couldn't because they failed. They super failed.
Yeah. But
that's interesting. And I hope that they flex that.
I don't know. I kind of like it that... Sorry, Charles, I didn't interrupt. I like that Yoda says, you know, you failed, so what? Like, we all failed. Yoda failed. He absolutely, single-handedly, spectacularly fails.
But I want to see what success looks like in this world. Like, not just good and evil, but, like, what is that? I know! I don't think they're going to do it!
I don't think that they are, and I don't think they have to, and I'm okay with that. I want it to be a gray area. I want...
The universe of Star Wars can grow a little bit.
But if it grows to success, then you have the rise of the Jedi again. And that's not...
No, you abandon the old ways, and you come up with a new future for the Star Wars canon, with embodying the virtues of both sides.
Everybody would consider Rey a failure, then, if she did that, because everyone was looking for Luke. He was supposed to come and save them all.
And the whole Star Wars universe needs to grow the fuck up.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, they will see her as a failure. Like, the universe would see her as a failure, as opposed to the fans watching the movie would be like, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. Oh, I'm super into it.
Anyways, I can't wait. I want to see it. I'm excited.
I'm hopeful. It looks cool.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that the whole Star Wars saga, the movie saga so far, has just been a series of failure by the Jedi. Like, that's... It's them thinking they're doing the right thing and fucking it up step after step.
No, you're right. Usually, like, an adventure story will have the good guys fuck up, like, off screen. Mm-hmm. Or, like, right at the beginning. And then, you know, the good guys get to fight back.
Yeah.
And, like, either make up, like, the redemption story or they find something new, whatever. And you're right. The Star Wars story is just the prescribed good guys not being up to the task over and over again.
Well, not up to the task, or they've set these... arbitrary rules that the bad guys then can use against them.
Yes, bureaucracy is the enemy in Star Wars.
Yeah. Also trade negotiations.
Star Wars was, you know, you gotta go back to when Star Wars wasn't political.
Just about. God. Good lord.
I love people. Man. Anyway.
Pod racing was pretty fun.
I haven't watched episode one in a long time.
I don't want to.
No, I want to go back, if only, again, we were just talking about
chapter
this.
Skip.
I want to watch all of the Darth Maul sequences, because what? I actually really liked that.
What? Okay, so
Qui-Gon being a weird conspiracy theorist with his midichlorians thing. The council's just like, okay, man, whatever.
Yeah, like, go enjoy your tactical bath. Midichlorians are making the frogs gay. I get it. Watch the Darth Maul fights on YouTube, and then just watch the Red Letter Media fucking review and ask what's wrong with your face over and over again. And then, that's the best way to enjoy that movie.
No,
it's technically 3 hours instead of 2 hours, so it's even worse. No. But it's much better.
No, I just want to watch those. I just want to watch the damn good fight sequence that they had there. Much like
it's great. Yeah.
The Rey and Kylo, that was a fucking ballet that they did in the throne room. And
love that throne room fight. That was the best end of the movie, and then there was more movie.
Also, just never watch the special effects breakdown of that, where weapons go missing.
Oh, yeah. I have seen that. And it's like, has anyone else noticed how this makes no fucking sense? And then you just, like, watch it, and you're like, oh, God.
Don't ruin that for me. I was going off of feelings.
I know. No. It's perfectly orchestrated for you to not care about the fact that none of it should work.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay, but Star Wars is littered with shit that should not work. Again, we also just watched the... other part of that season 2 season ender for Rebels, which was the
Inquisitors.
The Inquisitors with their lightsabers that spin around like helicopters.
Yeah, they're playing Fortnite and they're dropping onto the island and they have a lightsaber parachute.
I mean, it was weird enough when they just had like the spinning lightsaber thing, but when that thing could provide lift somehow.
Yeah.
Light beams spinning around in a circle provides lift. We don't understand how this works, but...
We don't know how science works in Star Wars land, okay? Just let it go.
But man, the rest of that season ender is that Ahsoka-Darth Vader fight.
Oh, that's fucking so phenomenal. Good. I probably watched that fight and the end of that episode, I don't know, once or twice a quarter?
Sure.
Just because I was like, I think about it, and I was like, damn, I need to watch that again.
Sure.
Neither of you have mentioned it, so I'm going to bring it up, that... that whole fleet of Star Destroyers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's
Those are Imperial Star Destroyers.
Yeah, they're more than Empire, right? There's a whole bunch of different...
No, that's just old Empire Star Destroyers.
I thought
those aren't the new ones.
Yeah, they're old ones, but there was also Y-Wings in there. There was Ice...
Oh, yeah. I guess that flew right past me, I guess.
Yeah. Thinking that the last trailer was the Emperor... mm-hmm. you know, laughing. And, mm-hmm. you know, he came out on stage for D23 last time. So I'm thinking that we're either getting a dream sequence or we're getting a look at a battle that wasn't on stage before, or you know, on stage, on screen before.
Hmm.
They could actually be pulling from the books.
Yeah.
Because Aftermath, Ray Sloan is the person who takes over the Empire after right. the collapse.
Right.
And mentions that there's about a quarter of the fleet of Star Destroyers unaccounted for.
Huh.
They don't know where they went. So she's got, like, the only Dreadnought class, and then the rest of the Star Destroyers that they are able to get together is what they're using for their fleet.
Interesting.
They go out to the Uncharted sectors and form the First Order.
Gotcha.
And then we get into some issues with Thrawn in that bit, like, time period as well.
Yes. Now we have no idea where Thrawn is. Because he and Ezra went out to...
Also with Rebels. Oh, God! I love the storytelling of Star Wars so much.
They're never going to bring Thrawn into this.
Oh, no.
Much as I would love to just see Thrawn on screen, even in a post-credits.
Yeah. Anyways, it was awesome.
I remember reading those books by flashlight.
The new ones are good.
Okay.
There's three of them. I've read two of them so far. There's Thrawn, and then there's Thrawn Alliances. And Thrawn Alliances is actually a interesting story of Thrawn and Darth Vader working together.
Huh.
And Thrawn essentially putting the pieces together that he actually interacted with Anakin Skywalker. And one of the few people who figured out that Anakin is Darth Vader.
Interesting.
And, you know,
sure, that makes
Vader
sense.
Figuring out that he knows. And
gotcha.
Like that relationship there. It's a good storytelling. He is the Sherlock Holmes of the, you know, Star Wars era.
Cool. That's an interesting take. There's not a lot of brainy characters that, like, just, like, super figure stuff out in Star Wars.
Yeah. I mean, that is his fucking superpower.
Yeah.
He's that, and he's ruthless.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically how they explain him being in the Empire.
It's yeah.
just that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other reason they would let an alien
right.
amongst the humans.
Yep. So, yeah, that's cool. And also a reminder that Disney Plus is happening soon, and talking about different Star Wars things. The last season of Clone Wars, so okay. that was the animated series that was forever ago, is getting its closing season. They allowed them to come back, which I'm also super excited for, because it tells that missing segment of what happened to Ahsoka, specifically with a fight on Mandalore.
Sure.
Anyways, awesome. I know we're...
I've heard the Boba Fett movie's coming out. That's cool.
Boba Fett? You mean Boba Fett TV series?
Oh, is it a TV series?
It is.
I didn't think it was about him. I didn't think The Mandalorian was actually about him.
Oh, it's not, not about Boba.
Okay.
What? I've been lied to.
In so many ways, apparently. Who's telling you these things, John?
Nothing. I just see a meme on Reddit. I make my own stories.
It is coming to Disney Plus, and it starts November 12th, and it's going to be a weekly series. So they're not going to do the binge version of put everything all up at once.
So the only thing I know about the Mandalorians in the Star Wars universe is that they're, like, linked to this, like, barbarian horde that came out from the outer reaches or whatever, right?
No. Mandalore is existing for quite some time. They're a group of well-known fighters.
Okay.
And they're almost...
I'm thinking of something else. Okay.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Mandalore's been involved for quite some time. They have a history of, like, royalty almost, you know, heads of households, and but definitely a fighting-esque style background.
Sure.
More than...
The chivalry planet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it... And there's some cool storytelling that they've done on Mandalore. Definitely a section of fighting of what happened because they decided to not side with the Jedi, but they were trying to remain neutral, and then that has not gone well for them.
Sure.
But they never really recovered from that.
Okay.
So, again, some badass storytelling that happened on Mandalore on multiple levels. Like, they did some storytelling there on Clone Wars, and then they go back on Rebels. One of the characters there is actually from Mandalore, and so they do some rad storytelling about, like, an energy sword that basically glows black and is pretty rad looking. And
the Darksaber.
Yeah, they don't ever
for fuck's sake.
Yeah, I know. Don't think too hard about it, but it's kind of rad looking. Anyways, it's rad. I like it. Cool storytelling. Don't think too hard. To be fair, that's my overall recommendation for Star Wars, which is pretty rad storytelling and don't think too hard about it.
Yep. I can usually avoid that until they start doing slow speed space chases. During which time characters can leave the chase, go have an adventure on a planet, and come back to it.
Yeah.
Doesn't work that way.
And nobody in the Empire's like, should we stop that ship? Oh, hey, that ship's back. Cool, it's going back to them? Awesome.
Don't worry about it. Anyways, so, watch the trailer. I can't wait for everyone to go watch episode 9 this holiday season, because I don't remember the release date.
December 20th.
Yeah, what he said. Excited about that. Moving on, because otherwise I'm going to just talk about Star Wars forever. I played a game this weekend that I was super excited about, and I'm pretty thrilled about. I've talked at length on this podcast about Sam Barlow's game Her Story.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the FMV-style game where you are essentially at a computer terminal putting in keyword searches and getting videos back.
Right. You're at an ancient police computer, actually.
Yeah, basically. Accessing like, that's the old point.
QuickTime files. Yes.
Yes. So, Telling Lies is a very similar experience. You start with a much more updated FMV video of a woman that is kind of like rushing to get home and sit in front of this computer. And you don't really get anything more than some README files and her typing in a couple of keywords in the search box. Like, she starts with
BR
and then deletes it and then types in love. And a number of videos, like, it says so many videos are returned, but you can only see the first 5 in chronological order.
So, oh, in chronological order?
Yes.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is limiting you in that way, causing you to be a bit more investigative about what you're doing.
Right.
Because...
And it's not different from Her Story, and that Her Story let you choose based off of what was in the video versus what was said. So in Her Story, you could say tattoo and get videos of the girl with a tattoo, I think. If I'm
no, I think it's just
did
dialogue.
Did she have to say?
I think it's just dialogue.
Oh, well, oh, great.
Wait, no. Yeah.
Because you could get tea, I thought. And I didn't
and that was
that
immediately the thing
said...
I thought. It was like coffee and tea, but I actually think...
Did they actually say?
I think
yeah,
she might
the ones where she actually said.
Maybe
she
actually said
coffee. It is
okay.
Keywords.
Maybe. Yeah,
because I was looking up things like it.
Well,
right?
I remember we had also started tagging certain clips and might have just started tagging clips with tattoo.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Well,
okay.
Anyway.
Either way, so it is based off of the words
dialogue
that are said. By the way, good thing to note, because sometimes they whisper things or they mouth things and don't actually say it. So
okay.
You can't actually pick those words.
Okay.
So all of this
wait,
is...
so you can't pick them if they're not audible.
Right.
Yeah.
They have to be in the audio transcript. You get subtitles.
Yeah, right.
Worth noting, I guess, at this point, that you can also pause video, click on any word in those subtitles, and use it as a search term.
Oh, that's just...
From that.
That's good quality of life
yes.
improvement from Her Story.
It's just a UI improvement that is...
So...
Nice.
Yeah.
You do a keyword search, and it'll bring up the first 5 videos that have that. You can also scrub back to the beginning of that video. This is different from Her Story. Her Story always started at the beginning of that clip. Wherever the keyword was, it didn't matter. You could watch that entire clip. This one starts at wherever that word is at in that video. Is that video 9 minutes long and the word is at the very end? You have to then scrub all the way back to that beginning if you want to watch that entire video. I didn't catch that till a shameful amount of time through that game and realize I missed a lot of things.
Gotcha.
But you don't have to do that because sometimes a lot of that stuff's not relevant if that's not what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And if the word pops up multiple times, there is an index in the thing that lets you pick one of the starting points.
Gotcha.
So.
Or just a good thing to note that it's going to pop up at 3 different time stamps.
So without... I guess this is... I am going to give some spoilers, but not really, I guess. So, you are a person within the FBI.
Okay.
And you are scrubbing through a bunch of videos.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not told, when you sit down as the player, What's the point? What are you looking for? Yeah. What happened? That is very similar to her story in that you're not told what is a win condition, right? What ends this? I still don't know what actually was the video. What was the condition that prompted the game to end for me? Because Charles and I got to two different spots and didn't, you know, we both got to the same certain like set of videos and we understood what happened to a specific character, but that wasn't what ended the game. That wasn't what prompted. What happens is at a certain point, the character stops, like you're no longer able to control. All of a sudden you see it's same deal, right? You see a person's reflection on the screen as you're watching these videos. That's you. And you lose control for a moment and she pulls up a USB drive, puts it in there. It's a program called Jane the Ripper where it basically takes all of those videos and it uploads them somewhere.
Oh, sure.
So, but what I don't know, I still don't know what is the condition that makes that stop. For me, there's actually a clock on the computer monitor. You see what time it is. For me, it was at 5:10 a.m. when that happened. For Charles, it was 5:05 a.m.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was at a specific chronological point in time. So I think it was a certain video, but I don't know what it was.
And I think we both ended up with, by that point, having different scopes of our investigation, giving kind of different pictures of the same person.
Okay.
Because this involves, what, 4 different people?
Yeah.
There's as many as 30 different people that you can see throughout the entire series of videos.
Sure.
But it definitely focuses on the protagonist, essentially. His name is David. And then there is his wife. There is another woman. And there is a cam girl. And I'm not giving you that away. All that's in the fucking trailer.
Well, that also comes up in the first search. When you do not have control and love is typed in and searched, it brings up all of those characters as within the first 5.
Oh, good. Okay.
So if you just go and watch those videos, you know who all 4
the main
of the
players
main
are.
Players.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
The thing that, and this is a spoiler, so come back in like 5 minutes. The thing that I don't understand is that the character you're playing, her name is Karen. You discover that she is basically his kind of handler within the FBI. And you discover that David was put on medical leave because he could not separate himself from this case. He's basically gone undercover and he got so involved. He started sleeping with somebody, with a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She gets pregnant and there's a whole thing that he can't separate. You know, it's not fact from fiction, but he can't separate that they're supposed to be investigating eco-terrorists and he is so in this. And so he gets essentially forcibly pulled out of the situation. Everybody gets arrested. This is like the conclusion of it. The video that does not trigger the end of this game is David months out. Like you get the dates of when all these videos are.
Sure.
It helps you chronologically put together the timeline, you know, figure out what the story is.
Yeah. There is a big gap of several months and then he comes back and does something.
Sure.
And I won't give that away, but at a certain point, so something happens. And what the end of this game happens is that Karen, the character that you're playing, is essentially a whistleblower. She's uploading all of these videos to the media.
Sure.
I have yet to figure out why.
Yeah.
That's the piece that I'm missing.
You were the child! anyway, yes.
Yep.
No.
Nope. Because you're supposed to be his handler. You were the guy that, like, sold. Anyways. Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't get that. Like, that's not as clean of a debate for me. So, and spoilers here for anyone who's coming back, but
I just think it's a commentary on how the government handles things. Like, I think that's really what it is.
Well, I mean, absolutely. I think that the thing that for me was a difference, her story, what I loved about it is that after playing it, I could debate with people for hours on were there actually
there
two
was
people?
A central mystery.
Yeah. Yes. Were there two people or
and it was and it wasn't the thing it said on the tip.
Yeah.
Like, the murder mystery of someone disappearing was not the mystery. It was whether or not there were two girls.
Yeah. So, for this one, I felt like maybe the mystery is kind of, why did Karen do this? But
it's more of a mystery about the meta context as opposed to the players in the story.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if that is the mystery, like, I didn't get enough little nuggets to tell me that.
I gotta fucking play this game.
Yeah. See, I have my feelings about why she's doing it, so it's like I mean, I think that she just saw how everything went down, and I'm guessing there was a media cover-up to blame one party, and she just wanted to clarify that it wasn't that party, and this is what actually happened, and how we got to these events.
How long did it take you to play through the game?
About 3 hours?
Yeah, 2 to 3 hours, maybe, and that's...
just getting to the first part, where it cuts off. So... As you're going through it, the time is clicking down, and you know that people are after you.
Oh, shit.
So you know you're on a time limit, which is why the clock is a thing. And, like, every hour that clock ticks down, something happens in the background to kind of, like, bring you out and remind you that something's going on, that you're in a real place.
Yeah.
And then when 5 a.m. hits, she gets out that thing. Yeah.
But at some point.
At some point.
Yeah. Yes. What's also causing it to tick down is...
Also, I would not put it past Barlow to just say, like, oh man, there's a 1 in 10 chance after 5:05 a.m.
random number that generator.
That it will fucking cut off the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So people have this conversation.
Yes. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it triggers the idea that you should be ending things.
Yeah.
You don't have to stop.
The clock stops going down at that point.
Yes. The clock stops moving at that point.
The narrative time has stopped. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Anyways, so it's cool. The thing that I would just say, it's still a lot of fun. Yeah. I had a good time playing it. I liked the investigative part. I like that this isn't a win condition. There is not a, like, that I'm set before me to make my decision on what is this game about. And what am I learning? And what do I care about? What thread do I want to go through? After you finish the game, you go through there's an FMV sequence, and then you watch parts of the credits, and then you basically get like a mid-credit stinger.
Sure.
About whatever character you spent the most time concentrating on. So
that's kind of fun.
So whatever your area of interest was,
you get a little payoff.
Yeah.
Little something about that. Usually it's this is what happened afterwards.
Yeah.
This is what happened to my life, and this is what went on. And then, post all of the credits, a new thing pops up in the menu. It's called Report. And so it is basically a report in the DOJ about you and David, and it's the official, report of what happened, that you submitted this many videos to the media, that you watched... you caught this many, or like you went through this many of the videos, like what portion,
how much of the database, because you're working from an offline database that was stolen.
Gotcha.
So they don't find you until you upload.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then there's like some other, you focused on this person and you used these keywords, like these specific three out of all of the stuff you did. So, but it's just kind of cool to be able to see that. And if you, by the way, go back after you finish the game and watch more of the videos, that report updates still.
Okay. So it's a status screen. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
So it's a lot of fun. It was $20 on Steam. I mean, not everyone has the $20 to spare, but I did, and I thought it was well worth it. Yeah. I enjoyed playing it. I liked talking to people about it. I played the game and immediately went to Reddit, and I was mad because I played it.
Day two, actually.
I was mad because I didn't realize day one until I Googled it that day. So day two, and there wasn't a subreddit for it yet. So I went to the Her Story subreddit to see if anybody was talking about it. There were like a few people. Most people were actually commenting on the thread of like, collecting all the reviews about the game. And so in the comments of that Reddit post, people were talking.
Right.
So now there is a subreddit for telling lies. But I liked it a lot. I thought that I liked Her Story more for different reasons. But that doesn't take away this game.
Yeah, I read a few reviews for Telling Lies on Steam. And I... just usually, fundamentally, just really dislike Steam reviews. I don't like the system that brings certain reviews to the top. I think it's a gameable system.
Yeah.
It allows abusive people to brigade things. Anyway, I read a really interesting review that I don't agree with, but I think it's probably a common sentiment, which is, man, the production value on this game is great. I can't believe this game is like a movie. Oh man, they must have spent so much money on this game. Also, I don't know if I would spend $20 on this again. And like, first off, I'm like, go fuck yourself, buddy. Like,
yeah.
You got a movie's worth of entertainment for the cost of a movie. You really did.
Yeah.
Jump in a lake. Don't write that in a review. Secondly, I think, you know, that also speaks to the production value compared to Her Story. And Her Story was barely produced. Barely produced. That game almost didn't exist.
One of the plot points is that a real tattoo or is it... Did they give her such a bad fake tattoo to look like a tattoo?
It is a bad fake tattoo because the game took $5 to make.
It was shot in a room.
Yes. I mean, they have a room and an actress. They found a plot that allowed them to hire one person.
Yeah. But I mean, that's
is
actually...
Is it a fake tattoo? That was like, yeah, first off, yes it is. Secondly, no, it's a cheap game. Get out of here.
But was that a plot point? Was it intentionally looking shiny?
Telling Lies doesn't have that.
It does
it's
not.
A fucking movie.
Yeah.
Multiple locations, lots of, like, wardrobe changes. Like, there's...
I've heard, like, legit actors doing stuff.
Everything is done really well.
Yeah.
It's entertaining. If you enjoyed this, if you enjoyed Her Story, I would encourage you to check out Telling Lies.
Yeah.
If... A story like Her, or a story, a game like Her Story is not up your alley. If you are looking for something that you get to win, if you were something looking for points, if you were doing,
yeah.
This is not the game.
Do you like games with endings?
Yeah. I mean,
it has an ending,
but it's not necessarily a satisfactory one.
No.
So I don't want to say that people can't say that they don't. People can not like this game, that's fine, but I also want to be clear on whether or not a game is for you, right?
Yeah.
Overwatch is not the game for me. I'm not going to play it. It's not that I'm saying it's a bad game, I'm saying I'm not the right audience for it. So, if this is the game style that would interest you, then I would recommend it. Yep. If not, then don't waste your money on it.
Yep. No, I'm going to get it, because Her Story was so good.
Yeah. I'm excited. I want to talk to you about it.
Yeah, I just trust... Sam Barlow to make a good game, and actually I kind of want to play with my wife. Like, Her Story was the only game that my wife sat down next to me and we played together literally ever. And yeah. I'm excited to ask her if she wants to genuinely sit and play the quote-unquote next game from the same guy.
So, well, Megan started playing this game and I sat and I started watching it and then I...
Immediately booked it?
Deliberately got out of the room and went and played something in the other room with headphones on so that I would not... see what was going on so that I could play and have my own experience with it so we could talk about it.
Yeah.
I had a hard time sitting watching him play it because I was like,
you're not searching right.
Well, yeah, but
you're Googling wrong.
You have to have separate experiences to talk about it.
Yes. Well, I definitely was like, hey, try this phrase. Try this one. Yeah.
Well, then you're still interacting with each other at that point. You're still like comparing the two experiences.
Oh yeah. I will say on, you know, looking at the Steam achievements, there are ones that I did not get. Mm-hmm. You're in-game also an improvement from Her Story. You can actually make notes on the videos themselves.
Thank God.
You can bookmark
them. I had a fucking notepad in the other monitor fucking taking notes the whole time. I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah. I think you could do some of that in Her Story, but it's far more robust in this one.
Yeah.
And there are achievements for it. I did not take advantage of that in this game. It was, for me, I was just more interested in a particular storyline, then I would just move that direction. I was distracted by shiny things.
So, like, in this one, when you bookmark a video, it cares about when you bookmark it, because the bookmark will have the text that was being said at that time as part of the bookmark.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So you're bookmarking a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I bookmarked something that was, like, during a meeting that a bunch of people were having, and, like, when one phrase was being said is when I bookmarked it, because that was the phrase that seemed important to me, and that immediately went into the bookmark.
Gotcha.
You can then also add tags to each of those
nice
videos.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep, so there are actually achievements for using the tagging and the bookmarking thing.
Sure.
So I did not do that. There are achievements for uploading everything. I also haven't done that because I've run out of keywords, man. I don't know what else to search.
Oh, there was the Her Story. So I definitely, after playing Her Story, stayed up until like 3 a.m, like watching a YouTube video of all the chronological clips.
So somebody actually noted, by the way, in the subreddit for the I think it was the post on the reviews, not necessarily in the subreddit for Telling Lies. There was apparently I don't know if it was a glitch or if it was a just known bug or error in the game. If you typed new in Her Story, it just put all the movies that you haven't watched in chronological order.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah.
That sounds like a feature that was pulled out of the game and then not decoupled from the search function.
Yes.
Yes.
Whoops.
But no, I watched like the Her Story chronological clip compilation that's like, you know, 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
There's definitely a clip where she just says, like, thanks or something for a coffee. It's like, fuck you. Like, it's one word. It's like, thanks.
Yeah.
Takes the coffee, and then it's like a 3-second clip. It's like, you needed to find that to get 100%. God damn it. Son of a bitch. Like, you had to notice she didn't have coffee and then had coffee at one point and then guessed thanks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that
just might be the same thing. We don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I will say, segueing into about Telling Lies, Annapurna, the producers? Publishers?
Publisher.
Is A27 publishing? Or the Annapurna publishing?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. They're going to be at
PAX. They have
their
hands in everything. Nice.
So I'm hoping, I'm hoping that there's some merch or something, man. I don't know. I'm interested in that. But small segue here, also going to be at PAX. They announced it. Untitled Goose Game is going to be there.
Yes, and we will have played it.
Yes.
Oh yeah, we'll have plenty to say about that, I'm sure. They also teased that they have an announcement to make, which I assume is just going to be the release date, which I don't know, might be Friday.
It might actually be PAX.
They might just show up and just be like, oh, also, it's available today.
I thought that it wasn't coming out until 2020.
No, it's been set for 2019.
There's a good chance they just announced that it's available at PAX.
Well, I really hope so. That would be
an immediate Switch purchase.
Yeah, no, they've been silent for a year. Dude, I'm going to play that game with Amy. Like, it's just going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made a couple of tweets during E3, and that's it. Yeah.
Last year, I bought an Untitled Goose Game t-shirt, which I love, and the Goose socks, which I also love.
They will have those back if you miss them.
Yes, nice. They also have the other shirt, which I believe you bought Amy. It's the white one with just like the goose.
The flocked goose on it.
Yep. I want to buy that. I want to buy all the things. So I'm very excited. I've already decided this is my game of
the
year.
You spent more on merch on that game than the actual $19.99.
I know, yes.
That's going to cost a buy it on Switch. That's a guess. I don't know if it's
probably.
I appreciate how we're talking about this as if people are going to get to hear this podcast before PAX.
Yeah.
No, yeah, sorry. I'm very excited, though.
Yeah.
I think you guys are having a real ambitious look at what I'm going to do for the next 2 days.
I don't know. I think the new Dorkadia producer might maybe show up.
It's just...
Meow.
Because me, I'm hoping to have some stuff to talk about Streets of Rage 4. I'm so excited about Streets of Rage 4.
Sure.
I am not.
Streets of Rage is classic.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not my jam.
Meh.
Hopefully... Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're not going to talk about PAX on this podcast, but yeah, I have a real big open mind for what I'm going to see on the expo floor because I don't know what the fuck to expect from this year. There's just not a lot of like showstoppers that I'm like expecting to see.
I'm ready.
I'm excited to see what they have to offer.
Ready for the indie showcase?
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah.
Bring it. Anyways, all right. I'm going to end this so that I can go watch that Star Wars trailer again.
That's not so we can go play Knights and Bikes.
Oh, yes, that too. All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. You can catch us at Dorkadia.com and at Dorkadia on most social medias, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Music, and Mixer. Please give us a rating. We would like 5 out of 5 watts.
Helio lightsabers.
Helio.
That's sun.
Get out.
All
right, now you're fired.
Sun sabers, huh?
Don't get out. Get out.
Is that worse than dark sabers?
All right, bye. Bye-bye.